16 from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 9, text number 27-28.
Atavi pretaman vikshya
Brahmano Madhusudanaha
Vishanna Chetasam Tena Kalpavyatikaram Bhasa.
I remember the time, only that much.
Lokasam Sthana Vijnana Atmanaha Parikhidyatah Tamaha Gadhaya Vacha Kashmalam Shamayanniva Atha Vipretaman Vikshya Brahmano Madhusudanaha Vishanna Chetasam Tena Kalpavyatikaram Bhasa Lokasam Sthana Vijnana Atmana Parikhidyatah Tamaha Gadhaya Vacha Kashmalam Shamayalniva Atha Vipretaman Vikshya Brahmano Madhusudanaha Vishanna Chetasam Tena Kalpavyatikaram Bhasa Lokasam Sthana Vijnana Atmanah Parikhidyatah Tamaha Gadhaya Vacha Kashmalam Shamayanniva.
Thereupon, Abhipretam, intention, Anvikshya, observing, Brahmanah, of Brahma, Madhusudanah, the killer of the Madhu demon, Vishanna, depressed, Chetasam, of the heart, Tena, by him, Kalpa, millennium, Vyatikara Ambhasa, devastating water, Lokasamsthana, situation of the planetary system, Vijnani, in the science, Atmanaha, of himself, Parikidyataha, sufficiently anxious, Tam, unto him, Aha, said, Agadhaya, deeply thoughtful, Vacha, by words, Kashmalam, impurities, Shamayan, removing, Iva, like that. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. The Lord saw that Brahma was very anxious about the planning and construction of the different planetary systems and was depressed upon seeing the devastating water. He could understand the intention of Brahma and thus he spoke in deep, thoughtful words, removing all the illusion that had arisen. Purport. The devastating water was so fearful that even Brahma was perturbed at its appearance and became very anxious about how to situate the different planetary systems in outer space to accommodate the different kinds of living entities. such as the human beings, those lower than the human beings, and the superhuman beings. All the planets in the universe are situated according to the different grades of living entities under the influence of the modes of material nature. There are three modes of material nature, and when they are mixed with one another, they become nine. When the nine are mixed, they become 81, and 81 also becomes mixed. And thus we ultimately do not know how the delusion increases and increases. Lord Brahma had to accommodate different places and situations for the requisite bodies of the conditioned souls. The task was meant only for Brahma, and no one in the universe can even understand how difficult it was. But by the grace of the Lord, Brahma was able to execute the tremendous task so perfectly that everyone is amazed to see the workmanship of the Vidhata or the regulator. Om Jnanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuvanmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. The Lord saw that Brahma was very anxious about the planning and construction of the different planetary systems, and was depressed upon seeing the devastating water. He could understand the intention of Brahma, and thus he spoke in deep thoughtful words, removing all the illusion that had arisen. Santrapa is saying the devastating water was so fearful that even Brahma was perturbed at its appearance and became very anxious about how to situate the different planetary systems in outer space. The anxiety is the most commonly observed thing in this material world. Sada samadvigna dhyam asadgrahat. Sada samadvigna means everyone in this world is always disturbed, always in anxiety. That is the way this world is created. Once upon a time, a student was wearing a t-shirt. It was written in big letters, "Don't disturb me." Big letters. Even from a distance, one could see that. But there was something else written in small letters below it. So when you go closer to that boy and see what's written, it's a famous t-shirt. "Don't disturb me," in big letters. And below, "I am always disturbed. I am already disturbed." You see? So this is the situation. Of course, in modern day, they have many t-shirts like this portraying the actual nature of material world. So everyone is in a disturbed state in the material world. Everyone is in a state of anxiety, worry, which leads to stress and tension and everything. That is the way the material nature is, because you will find in this material world, if somebody is not so powerful, they become exploited by those who are more powerful. And if somebody is powerful, they can be harassed by somebody who is less powerful. You will see, like a tiger or a lion comes out of the den in the forest, all the smaller animals flee in fear, like the rabbits or the deers and all other smaller animals. See how this creation is done. A deer has to come to drink water to a particular lake, and the tiger will be hiding behind a bush in that locality only, because he knows deer, where will he go? He has to come here for drinking water. When he comes to drink water, that's the time he will attack. So the deer has to smartly drink water and run away with his life. It's a challenge for the deer, you see. So the smaller animals are afraid of the bigger animals. At the same time, you'll find it is not that the bigger animals are free and they have the power to, you know, eat the smaller animals and they have no problem or something. Like you see, there is a bird which sits on the top of the tiger. When a tiger comes out, he sits on the tiger's back and makes sounds. He makes sounds. And now all the animals like the deer and others, they run away when they hear the sound. They know the tiger is out of the den. We should save ourselves. Of course, the tiger becomes so angry with this bird, but he can't even touch him because it is behind his back. It is. So this is the way the smaller creatures, they harass bigger creatures, you see? Yeah. Isn't it? Somebody thinks, you know, because I am subordinate, so many superiors are lording over me, commanding me, do this, do that. Someday I will become head of the department. Or someday I will become president. Or someday I will become GBC. The bigger I become, then nobody can, you know, command me. Then I will command everyone. Somebody may think like that. But then the more you go higher, there are people below you who can non-cooperate with you, or harass you, or bring anxiety for you. You may interest somebody to do something and they may exactly do the opposite. Yeah. And then the other people will misunderstand that you did the mistake, although your subordinate might have done the mistake. And a bad name will come to you if you are held responsible, you know. So you will feel so harassed. So this material world is designed like that. But whether everybody thinks, like that story you heard, how the rat thought, if I become a cat, I'll be more peaceful. The cat thought, if I become a fox, I'll be peaceful. In this, everybody thinks, if I am in another position, I'll be more peaceful. Actually, everyone in this world is trying to create a situation where they can live peacefully. Like sometimes a person thinks, if I buy a nice flat, I will have a, what do you call it, this portico or like the open place, what do you call it, in the house? Balcony. In the balcony, I'll put an easy chair and I will relax peacefully because I have saved money in the bank and I have 2-3 bungalows in my name, you know, and I will get my sons and daughters married and I will have my grandson sitting next to me. Peacefully I'll relax in an easy chair. Many people are making always a plan to arrive at a situation where they can be anxiety free. That's the nature of aspiration of every conditioned soul in this world. So Prabhupada says that the Mayavadis or the impersonalists, they also want to attain shanti, or the peace, or freedom from all anxieties. But even if one goes to Brahman to get that type of freedom from anxiety, that is only a temporary position. Again one comes back to this world of anxiety. Again. So, is there no situation when the living entity can be free from anxiety? Or is it wrong for one to be free from anxiety? You see, generally people think, if you are a spiritualist, you should have a cool head, you know, you should not be in tension, you should not be in anxiety. Is it not true? You ask anybody, why are you impressed with this sadhu or somebody? One of the first things they will say, oh, he has a cool head, you know. He has no tension, he has, you know, he doesn't take any tension, he is carefree, he is peaceful. So, Prabhupada says, this type of wanting peace is not a very high platform. He very beautifully explains this. He says, everybody in this world, they treat God as a father. See, when you treat God as a father, then what happens to you? What do you become? You become his child. Has child got any anxiety? No. So the father will, you know, send you to school in a car. You know, the father will pay the money for your, you know, school books and the charges and everything. And the mother will cook for you. Then you don't have to take any anxiety. So Prabhupada says, this is not a high class religion, Prabhupada says. This is a low class religion. Treating God as a father. Of course, this is better than atheism. Somebody is atheist, doesn't believe in God, he's a useless fool. But if somebody can have some faith in God as father, it's considered superior. But from the standpoint of true religion, accepting God as a father and accepting facilities from him and thinking that, you know, he will relieve me of my anxieties. so that I can live my life peacefully and happily. That's not a very high platform. Most of the Christians live on that platform. Prabhupada says, devotees, they don't want the God to become their father. They want to become God's father and mother. Like, see, Yashoda and Nanda Baba, they become parents of Krishna. Now, can any parent be free from anxiety when they have a child? They cannot be peaceful, isn't it? Like, you see, Yashoda, she's constantly fearful the monkey should not, you know, trouble my child. They should not make a scratch on his body. The cows are having their hooves. They should not put their hooves on Krishna's thighs. Krishna's, you see this Damodar Krishna sitting, his body is so tender like butter. If cows put their hooves on his thigh, what will happen? Actually, cows would never do that. How will they ever do? But it is Yashoda's fear. She is fearing that, you know, Krishna should not touch the fire. He should not touch the knife. He should not go away anywhere alone. The demon sent by Kamsa should not harm him, hurt him. So when Yashoda takes this kind of anxiety for Krishna, Prabhupada says, that is how she became the mother, he says. If a living entity takes anxiety for Krishna, as if Krishna is a child of that living entity, then the living entity becomes a mother of God. One gets a chance to become mother of God, or father of God. So, Yashoda is in constant anxiety. You can ask any mother or father when they have a small baby, you know, before the age of 3 or 4 years, you know, the baby will not let them sleep in peace. You know, they will have constant anxiety. Similarly, Yashoda also has anxiety. So, there is a conversation between Prabhupada and one Chitta Hari Prabhu. I was reading. In that conversation, Prabhupada says, Chitta Hari Prabhu is asking Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, are we supposed to become free from anxiety? Because we thought that spiritual life means, you know, it's all spiritual bliss. We have come to spiritual life for enjoying bliss, not for taking anxiety. So, but then some devotees are saying that you should take anxiety for Krishna. What is this? He asked. Prabhupada said, yes. Actually, spiritual life means you should take anxiety for Krishna. So, that devotee was asking, what type of anxiety is that? Because in this world, people have anxiety to accumulate money. People have anxiety at every moment. At any cross-section of one's life, you take, there is some anxiety. Somebody has anxiety to get good marks, somebody has anxiety to fetch a job, and somebody has anxiety whether I will be able to fill up my parents' belly. Isn't it? People have some anxiety always. Prabhupada, these are all material anxieties. Sada samudvigna dayadhyama sadgrihat, always disturbed mind. These are all material anxieties. But Prabhupada said, spiritual anxiety means it should be in relation to Krishna. So then the devotee was asking Prabhupada, Prabhupada, in case I have not completed my rounds, you know, I have some anxiety. So Prabhupada said, oh, that is also material anxiety. He says, why? Because if you are worried about yourself, you are always bothering about yourself, it's material anxiety. I am not able to control my senses. I am not able to complete my rounds. I, it's I-centeredness. He said, spiritual anxiety means it should be Krishna-centered. And then the devotee was asking, sometimes I feel, Prabhupada, I also feel anxiety for Krishna, he was telling. Prabhupada said, you cannot feel it so easily. He said, that's a very advanced stage, Prabhupada said. Feeling anxiety for Krishna is a very advanced stage. He said, in fact, that is the perfection of spiritual life. To constantly, 24 hours, feel anxiety for serving Krishna. That is the perfectional stage. In the neophyte stage, you cannot feel that, Prabhupada said. In neophyte stage, we have only anxiety for ourselves only. We don't have any anxiety for anyone else. So we are mostly I-centered. And then Prabhupada said, but, of course he quoted that Rupa Goswami's famous verse, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati. So Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati. If somebody's chitta consciousness is completely absorbed in Krishna, Rasa Bhavitamati is Mati. His Mati has Rati for Krishna. It's Krishna Bhavitamati. Kriyatam api kutobi lapyate. Somehow or other, if you find anybody having that kind of intelligence completely riveted in Krishna's lotus feet or absorbed in Krishna, he says, you can pay any price to get that kind of bhakti from that person, he says. And then he says, tatra laulyam api ekala mulyam janma koti sukritina labhyate, he says. Even koda kotana koti janam, if you do punya also, you cannot develop that kind of anxiety for Krishna. You cannot develop. But that can only be purchased from a devotee having that type of anxiety. So, if someone is having such anxiety for Krishna, then you also associate with him and get some of that anxiety and you will also develop. So, Prabhupada is telling, in order for us to develop anxiety like Yashoda or Nanda Baba, that type of anxiety, he said they have become related to Krishna because they took Krishna anxiety. Because Yashoda must have been a devotee in this world who constantly thought about Krishna, feared out of love. Just like Devaki is fearing Krishna's safety in the jail of Kamsa. She is fearing Krishna's safety. Actually, nobody needs to fear for God. Nobody can kill Krishna. Even as a small baby in the lap of Yashoda, Krishna killed Putana. So why to fear that Krishna will be killed by somebody? That type of fear has arisen from love. So when somebody out of love fears for Krishna, they become the mother and father of Krishna. Krishna gives them the chance to be raised by such parents who have such intense loving attachment for him, and they are willing to take anxiety for him. Like you see, Vasudeva is carrying Krishna in a basket, and Jamuna waters are rising high, and the baby Krishna falls off into the waters. And for the next few moments, Vasudeva is plunged into a ocean of anxiety, as if there is a thunderbolt is crashing on his head. He felt so fearful. Where is my boy? Where is my boy? Alas, I have been careless while carrying him. Actually, he was not careless. Krishna purposely jumped off from the basket into the waters in order to increase the transcendental anxiety of Vasudeva. In fact, Krishna was protected by Ananta Sheshpam behind. He was like an umbrella above him. How can he get lost unless he himself wishes to get lost? So Krishna purposely did that pastime to increase the anxiety of Vasudeva. And immediately Vasudeva found the child and again carried the child. So in this way, Krishna sometimes puts his devotees into great anxiety to increase their love for him, in that transcendental anxiety. In our stage, we may be fearful that such anxiety comes in, how I can be peaceful, how I can get shanti, because we don't even know what is that anxiety. It's a very advanced platform, Prabhupada. In fact, our goal is to achieve that platform of spiritual anxiety for Krishna. And then he said, how can we also achieve it in our lives? He said, we have to begin from a very basic platform of taking little anxiety for Krishna. And then he said, just like the deity worship we do, morning, you know, you're sleeping in the bed, night only you think, oh, tomorrow morning I have to do Mangalarti, Aarti for the deities. So I have to reach the puja room by 4:15 or something. I have to go. Imagine you put alarm clock and alarm was ringing and you didn't get up. It becomes 4:30, isn't it? So there is some amount of anxiety when you are going to bed. You have to get up in the morning. Or you tell another devotee, please wake me up. And then after getting, you take a bath and you go. And then while doing aarti, you have some anxiety. You have to rotate exactly that many number of times. Sometimes, you know, you are thinking about something else and you are, instead of 7 times, you are doing 20 times. And people are wondering, what is this fellow is doing? Isn't it? That is why this number is prescribed. You know, 4, 2, 3, 7. So that, you know, your mind cannot run anywhere. You have to keep a count. You know, otherwise you will go on rotating. You'll be thinking about something else. Or thinking about bowling the ball. You know? Isn't it? So, full focus has to be there when you are doing, worshipping the deity. So there is some amount of anxiety. Another anxiety, there is a clock, you have to complete in time. Sometimes half the aarti is over and the time is up. And immediately, lastly, you have to speed up the whole thing. So, there is anxiety in getting ready. There is anxiety in completing the worship. And there is also anxiety in dressing the deities. In one temple, devotees were dressing the deities. And it was the most time for Shringar Darshan. And Prabhupada asked, what's happening? Are they ready? And the devotee said, Prabhupada, sorry, we are only halfway through. Prabhupada said, what is this? What dressing are you doing? 2 hours. Prabhupada said, half an hour, dressing should be over. Huh? Half an hour. And Prabhupada went in the deity room and quickly finished dressing. Because Prabhupada was so expert in everything he did. Very beautifully you dressed in a very short time. Not that you are doing a hari-bari job. So, there is also anxiety in dressing. Sometimes you put a turban in such a way that, you know, as soon as Shringar Darshan opens, turban falls. Isn't it? So there is anxiety, I have to dress. Some people don't know how to properly make the turban. Isn't it? So there is anxiety in dressing also. There is anxiety in arati. Prabhupada said, this is the beginning of spiritual anxiety. You are always thinking that, Krishna, let me serve you properly. Let me not commit mistakes in serving you. And one another devotee was asking Prabhupada that, you know, Prabhupada, we are going out to distribute books. We have anxiety that somebody should take a book. So what about that anxiety? Prabhupada said, that is also spiritual anxiety, he said. As going out and giving people Krishna consciousness and anxiously thinking how I can reach out to them. You are actually doing Krishna's work, just like Hanuman or Arjuna. Hanuman is going on Lord Ram's mission. Similarly, Arjuna is fighting the battle of Kurukshetra on behalf of Krishna. Like that, you are going out and distributing books, reaching out to the conditioned souls. That is spiritual anxiety, to have anxiety to reach out to the people. That's a good anxiety, it's a wanted anxiety. Prabhupada said, we need that kind of anxiety very much. And he said, even though in the early stage it may be mixed with our false ego to some extent, but eventually, he said, the anxiety that we have in the material world gradually will become cleared, will become purified. And so the Mayavadis are the impersonalists. They want to become free from the material anxiety and come to a stage of shanti where there is no activity. There is no service to Krishna. That is useless. When you go beyond the Brahman platform, Mad Bhaktir Labhate Param. Then you get bhakti after the Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kankshati. You see? So there is no, in Brahma Bhuta stage, there is no lamentation, there is no hankering, which is 0-0 platform. But beyond that, Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. From there, one gets bhakti and goes beyond. Where? Then one takes on spiritual anxieties for Krishna. Like when Prabhupada went to LA temple and he was installing the deities there in Los Angeles. So it was, I think it was 1969, I think, yeah. 69. So he was selling there while establishing. In those days, Rukmini Dwarakadish was not there. Later on, Rukmini Dwarakadish came in LA. So at that time, Radha Krishna, small deities, Prabhupada welcomed them, installed them. So he was selling. You see, if you have life, then the deities will reciprocate with you, he said. Otherwise, you know, you will only think of them to be some brass idols. And you may not have any life at all. And Prabhupada said, what is the meaning of life? He said, prana achyar sehetu prachar vise. But actually, what is the meaning of life? He said, life means one is willing to take anxiety for Krishna. That's the meaning of life. And he said, when we are dressing, that one should think, oh, here is Krishna, let me dress him properly. Here is Srimati Radharani, let me dress her very beautifully. And let me offer them garlands. So Prabhupada would be watching in the morning. Sometimes devotees would forget to put the flute, or they would forget to put the garland. Sometimes they would forget to put the mukut. And Prabhupada had to immediately get hands-on management. He would do and tell them, close the altar and dress them properly. And Prabhupada said, inattentiveness is a sign of lack of love. Isn't it? Negligence or inattentiveness. And once Prabhupada saw in the altar, the garland was very dry, the flowers. And Prabhupada said, how can I put these flowers? This is what we got, Prabhupada. They were saying, but how can I put it? How can I put these flowers? Will Krishna appreciate this? So, this is meaning of life. Life means taking anxiety to serve Radha and Krishna with great love. That is sign of life. And Prabhupada said, if you serve them like that, Prabhupada said, then the deities will talk to you. Prabhupada said, they will speak to you. Because you are serving them with love, they cannot keep quiet. They will naturally reciprocate with you. But if you treat them very carelessly, neglectfully, inattentively, you know, and you are more or less bodily conscious, you are only thinking about your own other anxieties, and you are finishing the dressing of the deity or the puja as a matter of duty. Okay, this has to be done every day or whatever. You do it like that, then they will also behave like, you know, brass idols for you. Yeah, I was telling. And Prabhupada said, actually, when we are dressing the deity, you are cleaning the temple, Mandira Marjan we are doing, or distributing books, or giving lectures. Prabhupada said the disciple should always remember that he is doing this on behalf of his spiritual master. Actually, it is spiritual master who is doing the work, but he is acting as an instrument. He should always remember this, he said. In that sense, he is taking the anxiety of the spiritual master away by doing these services. Now, and then he said, like, you know, if a disciple is pakka, in whom the guru can trust, then Prabhupada said that the guru does not have to worry at all. I have given these deities to my disciple. He will worship them nicely. He will engage all the devotees in preaching and he will preach. And he has no anxiety. But if a disciple falls down, then he becomes a big burden for the guru. He said it becomes a big burden. So the disciple means one who takes the transcendental anxiety of the guru and is willing to take it, guru's anxiety, and share it. And in this way, the Krishna anxiety is taken by the disciple and he spreads it further. In fact, he hands over that anxiety to other people further. In this way, many, many living entities come forward to take on the anxiety to love and serve Krishna. In this way, Prabhupada wanted to convert a portion of the material world into spiritual world by increasing the transcendental anxiety for entering service to Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada said it is only based on that love or the life. Love and life are same, he said. If you have life, you will have love. With love only you will serve. And he was giving the example how the gopis and the gopas, everybody when they would come to meet Krishna, they would dress very beautifully themselves and decorate very nicely. Why? To be very pleasing to the eyes of Krishna. In South India, in many temples you will see some of the brahmanas, they will wear this kadakan. No? Kadakan is actually an earring with a pearl or something, or diamond sometimes. They'll be wearing this. And they'll be wearing silk robes also in their body. Silk dhoti and silk robes around their body. Some of them will be wearing gold chain also. Sometimes you will see them wearing some bracelets also in the hands. So those people who are uninformed, when they see these people, they will think, hey, this fellow is so luxurious. Actually, you should give opulence to God and poverty for oneself. But this fellow is doing the opposite. How is he accepting all this facility? Actually, the understanding is this. The pujari dresses himself very beautifully to be presentable to Krishna. To present himself. Actually, those are all very exalted people. Those brahmanas and pujaris, even in Madhva Sampradaya, you see also. When you see them, they are all very respectable. In fact, their chitta is completely absorbed in remembrance of Krishna, fully. They don't have any life other than Krishna. They're Krishna Maya. There are many people like that. And even they dress like that, why? In order to be beautiful in front of Krishna. In order to be presentable. Just like, for example, you are going for an interview, you know, you clean shave, isn't it? You cut your hair properly, you clean shave, and you wear formals when you go for an interview. Now, you don't go in a casual t-shirt, you know, without combing properly, without shaving. You don't go like that. Similarly, in front of Krishna also, one should be presentable. One offers oneself in front of Krishna. Similarly, Prabhupada says, the gopis, when they would come to the dance, Rasa dance, they would dress themselves so beautifully. And when Krishna smiles, then their beauty would increase a million times. And then Krishna's smile would increase a million times. So it's a reciprocation between Lord and his devotee. And the same thing happens between spiritual master and the disciple. The disciple, when he takes the anxiety of the spiritual master, then the spiritual master becomes very joyful. Becomes very happy. And the joy of the spiritual master inspires the disciple to take more anxiety. In this way, Prabhupada said, not only Prabhupada said, Prabhupada did. Prabhupada, wherever he went and traveled, Prabhupada said, all of you are like my children. I am traveling around to come and meet you and give you. I am coming for two purposes, Prabhupada said. One is to give strength to the initiated disciples and surrendered disciples and followers. And another is to expand preaching. For both purposes, Prabhupada would travel around and meet the devotees. And Prabhupada actually gave more and more services. And Prabhupada said, you see, when I find some disciple taking some anxiety on my behalf, I become very encouraged. Then I give him more responsibility. And when he takes more responsibility, then the mission of Krishna consciousness expands even more. Then I like to give even more. And the disciple is willing to take more and more. Just like weightlifting, you see. In weightlifting, you know, you are lifting 50 pounds. Then you can add 20 more, then 20 more. You try your best. And then you can lift more and more. Gradually your capacity to lift a lot of weights will increase. Over a period of time, some of the Prabhupada disciples are managing 30, 40, 50 temples. How they are managing. And their schedule, if you see, you will faint actually. One day we do the schedule, we will have to be admitted in the hospital. If you follow that type of schedule. So Prabhupada also used to work very hard. Any anxiety taken for Krishna's service, it is considered a great sampatti. Like that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. He says that any anxiety that I get in service to Krishna, that is my greatest wealth, he says. Why? Because that anxiety completely removes my absorption in matter. You see? So that utsaha is needed. You see what happens when we come to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, you will find those who are very young devotees who are just now coming, they have tremendous utsaha, enthusiasm. Sometimes, you know, they have just spent 1 year or 2 years. They want to make the whole world Krishna conscious. They say that, Prabhuji, I went to give a program on the first day only, you know, five boys took 16 rounds. They say like that. They are very spirited. They are, like somebody says, I want to distribute 1 lakh Bhagavad Gita's within 1 week or something like that. They have a lot of spirit, enthusiasm. Which is very good. It's needed. Such enthusiasm is needed. And then you find sometimes that enthusiasm which they show in the Lord's service, it can be risky also. In what way? There were two types of people in those days. There were some disciples of Prabhupada who had still not given up smoking, but they were very eager to preach. You know, they would take the books and distribute books. They have not even read what is inside. And people would ask them, wow, what is there in the book? No, it's a very good book. Please take it. They'd give like that. They were too eager to preach, too eager to reach out as many people as possible, because they knew very well if you distribute books, Prabhupada will be pleased. So they wanted to please Prabhupada. On the other hand, there are other category fellows. They would leave the city temples saying that city is full of Maya. So they would go to farm community and plunge themselves into books. They'd be reading Prabhupada books. As soon as a new book would come out, immediately they'll complete it. And they'll be discussing it. And they wanted to purify their heart and they wanted to remove the anarthas. Their whole project became Anarthanvriti project. They became very absorbed and contemplating, being reflecting nature and contemplating nature, you know, solitude and, you know, that kind of thing they appreciated. They were going to the other extreme. So those devotees who have spent, you find, you know, 10, 12, 15 years, gradually they cool down and they become more dhairyat, patience. You'll find a lot of patience in them. And sometimes when they see the new young devotees who are very enthusiastic, then they may say, oh, you'll be jumping like this because you're a new devotee. After you become very old, you get more patience. But what is the problem with patience? In the name of being patient and in the name of not taking risk, you see that they become dull in their spiritual lives. They don't do much. And they might have spent many years, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. But what are you doing now? They are not doing anything. What is the use of the number of years in spending? See, Prabhupada was very old. He was 70 years. What was his age, but how much he was doing? How much he was working hard in that age? So, patience is also good, but it should be blended with enthusiasm. Otherwise, only patience has no use at all. That is why the old blood and new blood both should combine and work. Isn't it? Like, you know, there was one, who was that, Mountbatten? He made a statement that, he said, what is the difference between rashness and calculated risk? He said, rashness and calculated, rashly making a mindless endeavor. That is one thing. Another thing is engaging in calculated risk. See, we need to take risk, but the risk should be calculated risk. Like, for example, a devotee has spent 1 year, suddenly he comes to read about Haridas Thakur. And he says, really? He chanted 3 lakh names? Maybe I think I also will try now. Foolishly he thinks, I will imitate Haridas Thakur. And even one day also you cannot imitate. What to speak of continuously imitating? Just not possible. That is called as a foolish risk. So, calculated risk requires patience and guidance. Surely. So when we talk about taking anxiety for Krishna, it has to be a guided anxiety. If it is not a guided anxiety or a regulated anxiety or a calculated anxiety or a anxiety that is actually delivered to us by our superiors on our own, if in the name of taking anxiety for Krishna, we may be imagining that we are very advanced, but in the name of taking anxiety for Krishna, we can fall down very easily. And many people have fallen away like that because they took a lot of anxiety for Krishna, but eventually they didn't have any substance at all. So one has to grasp substance for Krishna, substance of Krishna consciousness, along with that take anxiety. That means heart should be full of bhakti juice, and externally all the senses should be very dynamically, actively engaged in increasing anxiety for Krishna. That is a nice combination. So the mood in which one should render all services to Krishna should be one of a servant. I am only servant of Krishna. I am only servant of devotees. I am servant of anyone whom I am serving. Actually, everybody can act in that capacity. Even somebody who is a guru, he considers himself servant of the disciples. And disciple naturally considers himself servant of guru. The husband thinks that my wife and my children and family members, they are all Krishna's property. I have to serve them. I have to take care of them. I have to make sure that they all go back to Godhead. So he's doing in a serving mode. And the wife thinks, my husband is taking so much anxiety, let me assist him. Let me assist my children. And whatever responsibility Krishna has given me, let me fulfill it properly. So everybody can work in the mood of a servant. So this is one of the very first things when we are entering service. When we are willing to take anxiety for Krishna. Secondly, as I told, the anxiety should not be whimsical. It should be calculated. And who will calculate for me? That is our spiritual master. Spiritual master calculates how much anxiety this disciple is capable of taking. You know, you cannot keep a big nariyal on the head of a sparrow. If you keep a big coconut on the head of a sparrow, the sparrow will become chutney, isn't it? So you have to only give as much burden as the disciple is able to take. Otherwise it will lead to running away. Like one Subal Prabhu in those days, you know, he came to Vrindavan. Prabhupada had sent him to take charge of construction. So he actually came in a different mood. He came in an enjoying mood. When he came to Vrindavan, he was thinking, oh, Kujata Kokila Hamsa Sarasagana, as he sings, there will be cuckoos cooing, peacocks dancing in Vrindavan. I will go around taking darshan of all Goswami's temples. I will see the Kunjas of Vrindavan. I will find Radha and Krishna there. Like that he came. And Prabhupada gave him the construction project of counting cement bags. He ran away. Yeah, and Prabhupada then gave the work to someone else after that. So, sometimes a person is not fit to take that much burden. And sometimes those who take burden, they get mercy also. You see, those people who completed the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a couple of months and published, they got tremendous mercy of Prabhupada. Prabhupada assured many of them that you will return back to Godhead in this very life. Like Sudama Maharaj, who raised a hand, who was willing to go to Japan to preach. Tamalaksha Maharaj, who was willing to go to China to preach. These were all almost next to impossibility. Just like Anantacharya raised his hand amongst 70 to 80 acharyas were sitting, and Ramanacharya was the lead acharya, who was asking them, is there anyone here who can go to Tirupati Balaji mountain, the seven hills? And Lord Balaji is uncared for. There are thick bushes there, thick jungle, infested with snakes and leopards and tigers and reptiles. The thick jungle, is there anyone amongst you who can go there and cut down the thick growth of the forest and make a pushkarini for Lord Balaji and worship the deities nicely? Anyone who can? Everyone was looking at each other and they were all trying to hide so the guru will not pick me up from the crowd. And that, but one of them was very bold. He said, I am ready. Who is that? He called. It was Anantacharya. He said, come here. He called him, made him sit next to him, patted on his back and said, this is Anbillai. He said, Anbillai means male. Here is a male, he said. Here is the courageous male. And he congratulated him. And he and his wife, they went to the hill. You can imagine. And Anantacharya, how did he take the instruction? Sometimes, you know, in a public assembly, we also want name and fame. We may take a vow, but then we may not execute it. When it comes to execution, we may get fearful. Sometimes, you know, there are people who are big talkers. They talk with the mouth, but they don't do practically. But when Anantacharya went, the hill was thickly infested with such thick jungle and forest. So he and his wife would work very hard. And all day, cutting those trees and, you know, digging the ground and making the pushkarini. So that was the time this wonderful pastime took place. Lord Balaji became very pleased. Nobody on the hilltop except this one husband and wife. One family. Lord Balaji, see, this is a beauty. When you are willing to take risk for Krishna's sake, then Krishna becomes fond of reciprocating with you. He cannot keep quiet. He has to reciprocate with someone who is taking risk for him. See, here Brahma is taking risk of creating placing the planets in perfect orbits, and Brahma is confused. But most important thing here is, such a confused Brahma is being witnessed by the Lord, which is most important. Even though a devotee may be confused or bewildered and may be struggling, such a struggling devotee is far superior to a materialist who is peacefully relaxing in an easy chair, being a crorepati. Because this devotee is taking anxiety for the Lord. And the Lord becomes very pleased. And the Lord reciprocates with such a devotee who takes anxiety for him. So, Lord Balaji was so pleased. He came as a beautiful young boy. And he was dressed so beautifully with gold and silver ornaments in his body. He had curly locks of hair and big, big bumblebee-like eyes. He looked very beautiful. He was looking like Vishnu only, same color, bluish. Bluish, and he was wearing a pitambar. And he came and he saw Anantacharya was digging with his axe and then putting the sand in a pot and giving it to his wife. And his wife would take it some distance and throw it. So then this boy went to Anantacharya and said, you see, look at you. You are such old people. Look at me. I am such a young boy. So I would like to offer you some help. So I will dig it for you. You both go and relax. I will do your work, he said. Anantacharya was such a determined devotee. His body was profusely sweating. He looked at this boy and said, you are telling that we are weak. You have so much jewelry on your body and your body is so tender, you can't even hold this jewelry, he said. And you think you are more stronger than us? Your body is so tender, don't think we are weak. We are comfortable doing the service. And by the way, he said, this service is given by our Guru for us. See, this is the meaning of a disciple. A disciple, while doing service, at every moment remembers that this service is given to be my spiritual master. And he feels, this is true pride. This is spiritual pride. So he said, this is given by our spiritual master to us. So, and we are very happy doing it. We would shed every drop of our sweat and blood to do this work. So you get out of here, he said. He said angrily. Then this boy thought, this man is very determined man. I can't convince him. So he went some distance, and then his wife would bring the sand, you know, in a pot. And she was actually pregnant also, that lady. So she was having great difficulty carrying that weight. Pregnant woman, they are not supposed to carry big weight. She was carrying and bringing and throwing. Then the small boy, he went to her and asked, my dear mother, I will help you. Your husband is not willing to take help from you, but I will help you. And she said, how can you help me? My husband will be angry. He said, you don't worry. You know, as soon as he gives you, you give it to me. And then I will go and drop it and give it to you back. Then you go back and bring it from him. In this way, he'll be thinking that you are throwing the sand, but actually I'll be doing it for you. We will have some adjustment like this. And she also liked the idea. Because, you know, she has difficulty carrying all that. But then the husband was very attentive. He said, how is it that you are able to quickly throw and come so fastly? It should be taking you more time. So, and then she very reluctantly she said, actually that small boy who spoke to you, he want to help me. And I thought, why don't we take help, he's a young boy. He became very angry. He's the same fellow. And then by the time when he went running after the boy, you know, the boy climbed up on the top of a tree. And he was sitting on a tree branch so that Antacharya cannot catch him. He's a old man, he can't climb up the tree. So the boy told him, you know, please don't be upset with me, I only want to help you. He said, what help are you giving us? You are taking our privilege to serve our Guru. Our Guru has given us service and you have taken it away. So he became very angry with the boy. So later on, the boy, in order to escape, he jumped off from the branch, and as he was running, Anantacharya threw that rod, which is found even today if you go to Balaji temple. And that rod hit the boy in the chin. Hit him in the chin and started bleeding. So Anantacharya became fearful. Later on, the boy ran round and round the temple and entered to the sanctum sanctorum and stood there. And who was it? Balaji. Same Balaji. Actually, Balaji has got the camphor here in this place. So then Anantacharya cried. He went and arranged for the this thing to be put, medicinal preparation he made personally, and he put it for him. So from Anantacharya we can see how much love he had for the instruction of his Guru, and was willing to take that type of anxiety for the Guru. Actually, that's the meaning of a disciple, irrespective of whether you are a grihastha, you are a brahmachari, you are a woman, you are a man, you are a child, you are a boy, whatever you may be. Actually, anyone who says that I want to take diksha from a guru, this is the meaning actually. One should want to expand the mission of his spiritual master and founder Acharya Prabhupada, taking that anxiety on one's head. Like Brahma is here taking anxiety, you see. So Lord Brahma was very anxious about the planning and construction of the different planetary systems and was depressed upon seeing the devastating water. Devastating water was so fearful that even Brahma was perturbed at its appearance and became very anxious about how to situate the different planetary systems in outer space to accommodate the different kinds of living entities, such as human beings and others. Which means, in the course of fulfilling the mission of the spiritual master, we will encounter many dangers. Many dangers. Just like in a kabaddi game, when you go, somebody can catch you and you know, out you. You will be out of the game. Similarly, when a disciple is trying to render service to spiritual master in this world, it's likely that the services may involve more dangers. For example, if you are dressing the deity, worshipping the deity, and if you are cooking in the kitchen, you are washing the floor within the temple, you know, you are relatively more safe. Because Just like in a battlefield, there are two sections. One section is where you have to be out in the warfare, where, you know, you are taking bows and arrows and fighting in the battlefield. Somebody is, you know, Atirathi, Maharathi, Dasharathi. You are sitting in a chariot and fighting. Anytime anybody can send an arrow, it may pierce the chest flat. One may die. Or one may get wounded in the battle. And then immediately the chariot is made about turn and brought back to the another area where the wounded soldiers are being treated. Medical treatment is given to them. So some of the soldiers, their only job is to treat the wounded soldiers. And the others, they have to go and fight in the battlefield. And both are important, isn't it? Like, for example, the temple is a place which is like healing the disease, healing the wound, isn't it? Like our disease is what? Avidya. Because of the avidya, in the outside world when we go, we get wounded by maya. So when we get wounded, we come back to the temple and we heal the wounds by shravanam, by kirtanam, by smaranam, by archanam, by doing the services, eating prasad, chanting and dancing. We nourish ourselves, we become stout and strong. Then we go out in the battlefield. So the world of maya offers unlimited allurements for the conditioned souls. Although a devotee may go out to preach, one can get hurt also. Like sometimes our boys go into the hostels to call the other boys to come for the program. But when they go to the rooms, sometimes boys are watching some Hindi movie in the computer. So this fellow is telling, hey, would you like to come for the weekly class or something? That fellow is saying, wait a minute, just 5 minutes, this movie will get over, I'm coming. You also come, sit with me, we both will watch. And they both watch. And then it goes on sometimes half an hour, 45 minutes. And instead of this fellow getting him for Krishna, that fellow got him for Maya. You see? Yeah, one can get lost like that. That is why going for fighting in the battlefield means we can get wounded. Similarly, somebody can fall down when they go out to preach. So there is a lot of risk involved in going out for book distribution. Even if we don't fall down, our consciousness can become polluted at least, which is a preliminary stage of fall down. That can also happen. So one is taking the risk. But although one is taking risk, one should know to fight the battle smartly without falling down. Like for example, somebody becomes a foot soldier and then if he is fighting very well as a foot soldier, then he is made a horse riding soldier. If he is riding horse riding very well, he is doing it very well, then he will be given an elephant soldier. He climbs on the back of an elephant and fights. And then he is given a chariot. Sometimes one charioteer is given plenty of soldiers around him, along with him, so that he fights as a team with many people like that. But sometimes in such a big battlefield, even great soldiers can get wounded. But one should not get discouraged. Because if somebody gets wounded, they will go behind. They will go and get healed. And again they will come back and fight. So we are waging a war against Maya in this world. Anyone who is willing to join this battle against Maya on behalf of Krishna, just like Arjuna did, they will all become blessed. Like here the Lord is watching, you see. The Lord saw that Brahma was very anxious, which means, like Arjuna is now fighting the battle. How much blessing came upon Arjuna, you see? He had Hanuman sitting in his flag in the top, giving a war cry along with Arjuna, isn't it? So the chariot itself was given by Indra, isn't it? Agni. Agni Dev gave the chariot. And the steeds or the horses, they were given by Indra, isn't it? Yeah, and Lord Krishna himself was sitting as a charioteer, riding his chariot. And wherever Krishna is there, Lakshmi is also there. So the goddess of fortune is there, Lord is there, Lord who is the Lord of virtue is there. The great devotee of the Lord Hanuman, who already has accomplished a great mission by getting details about Sita and coming back and telling Ram, or bringing the Sanjeevani mountain from north down to Lanka, flying in the sky. He is very famous for accomplishing great tasks, Hanumanji. That Hanuman gave company to Arjuna, because Arjuna agreed to cooperate with the Lord's mission. Similarly, when we join ISKCON, we become initiated, then great Maharathis who have done million times better than us are there to cooperate with us. Like Hanuman, Prabhupada is like Hanuman also. He accomplished great tasks, of formidable task of going to the West and establishing so many temples. So we should always remember, when I am doing my service, my spiritual master is watching me from above. Prabhupada is watching me. The previous acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaksan Saraswati, the Goswamis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all are watching. They are watching us, they are blessing us, they are empowering us, they are enlightening us, offering us solutions for our confusions and bewilderments. They are always with us and supporting us. And that's how Arjuna was supported, you can see. Why he was supported? Because he was fighting the battle on behalf of Krishna. That's the reason. If somebody, no, we don't talk about Battle of Panipat, you know. We don't talk about World War I or World War II. We talk about Kurukshetra because it is a war fought for the pleasure of Krishna and to destroy the adharma. So, similarly, when we take risks on behalf of parampara, then we get the blessing of whole parampara completely. Like the Lord is watching now and the Lord is guiding Brahma. And then Papa is saying here, the task was meant only for Brahma, and no one in the universe can even understand how difficult it was. Brahma is a very special child of the Lord, because in that lotus, all the jivas were there. But amongst all the jivas, there was one jiva which was very special, whom the Lord gave the post of Brahma. And then he told, for all the other jivas, now let the bodies be given to them and residences be given. Like he gave to even Rudra also, for Ekadasha Rudras. For them he gave them 11 places of residence, and he gave them 11 names, and he gave them 11 Rudranis also, and he situated them properly. Similarly, the Durga Devi, she gives the conglomeration of 23 material elements. And then Brahma gives them residences to live. Like, you know, Gandharva should be kept in a certain place, Vidyadharas, Kinnaras, Kimpurushas, Uragas, Nagas, Rakshasas, Pishachas. For everyone there is a place in the whole arrangement of the 14 planetary systems. And he has to situate them properly so they don't mutually create disturbance for each other. So he has to place them. First of all, the secondary creation means, Visarga means, all the planets have to be kept in their respective orbits. They have to be situated, which we cannot even imagine. There must be a lot of subtle forces involved in this, which may not even be known to science also, which is Brahma. You see, you know Madhu Kaitaba, who stole the Vedas from Brahma, they didn't steal the gross Vedas. They stole the subtle Vedas. So, just like nowadays we keep in software, somebody steals the software, pirated software, you say, no? Like that they stole the subtle Vedas from Brahma, and of course the Lord brought it back. The Lord became killer of demon Madhu and Kaitaba, and he gave it back to Brahma. So, in the course of executing his duties, Brahma faced a lot of challenges. Like you see, as he was doing these things, Madhu Kaitaba demon, they stole the Vedic knowledge only. And Brahma thought, my Lord, this Vedic knowledge is so essential for all the jivas to go back to Godhead. If the very knowledge is stolen, they will all be stuck in this jail of material world. Now what will I do? He prayed to Lord. Then Lord came and killed Madhu Kaitaba demon. Here is the Vedas, take it back. So now he is peaceful. And then while creating, suddenly there is one class of demons born. They are coming and attacking Brahma from behind. They are the first homosexuals. Brahma was shocked. First Brahma laughed, and then he became angry on them, and then he became fearful of them by their behavior. Then he folded the palms and prayed to Lord, please save me. Who are these fellows? What nonsense are they doing? And then Lord protected Brahma from them also. Like that. And Brahma created the yakshas and rakshasas. And as soon as he created them, they were shouting, hey, who created us? This Brahma, kill him, cut him. They were saying. They are the ones who are called as yakshas. Because they shouted at Brahma, they wanted to destroy Brahma only. So this kind of species he created. And he faced many dangers. In all the dangers, the Lord protected Brahma. You will see that. Even while creating all kinds of Like for example, we are going for preaching. You know, sometimes we get very wonderful devotees by whom we get inspiration. We think, you know, how this devotee is so nice. Within such a short time, he or she, they advance so much. On the other hand, sometimes you get dangerous elements when you go to preach. They come with such problems. My Lord, if you hear their problem, you can fall down along with them. They will say, Prabhuji, I want to reveal my heart to you. What do you want to reveal? They will write a 10-page letter. And if you read that letter, your consciousness will go down to hell. Yeah, people come with terrible problems. In the course of delivering people, sometimes you have to take the problem of people like Lord Shiva takes the halahal. If he drinks it, he will die. And if he spits it out, others will die. He has to keep it here. No, it becomes Nilakanta. Isn't it? Yeah, sometimes confidences have to be kept without drinking them in or spitting them out. You have to keep confidence. You may know about people, their weaknesses and shortcomings. Still, you should not look down upon them. Still, you should not ridicule them. Still, you have to see them as valuable elements in Krishna's movement. And you cannot tell anybody about it. You have to keep it yourself. So, Brahma also came across many dangers. And adding to all that, now you find here, all the planets have become haywire completely. You know, the waters, initially the Ananta Shesh emanates fire from the bottommost Patala up to the Janaloka. Up to that the fire is coming. So, the Janalok, Tapalok and Satyalok are untouched. So emanates fire. And practically everybody, all living entities are roasted in that fire. Somehow or other, somebody, you know, had an AC room or something, they hid themselves inside. In that fire they saved themselves, they come out. Then there is another processing done. What is it? Pralaya waters. The Pralaya waters rise from the bottom, from the Garbhodak ocean, it rises up to the Janaloka. In that everybody is finished. Nobody can escape. So initially the fire, later on the waters, they rise. But then even the sun and moon lose their glare in that devastating waters. Everything falls apart. The whole, there is no scope of any escape there because all the planets are submerged in that. So those who are in Maharloka resident sages and saints with folded palms, they are all praying, Pahimam, Pahimam, please protect us, protect us. Sastrastu, Sastrastu, let there be auspiciousness everywhere. You know? Shanti, Shanti. Prithvi Shantihi, Apashantihi, Vishvedevaha Shantihi, Antariksha Shantihi, like that they are praying. Let there be peace everywhere. What is going on? This pralaya, everybody is afraid. And from there, they are all going to the higher abode. Just like sometimes when flood comes on ground floor, you go to, you know, first floor or second floor or third floor. They go to higher planets. The people from Maharloka go to Janaloka and Tapaloka, they go higher. And then from there, they are watching the Lord Vishnu, who is having semi-closed eyes, like lotus, like petal, like eyes, and peacefully relaxing in the Ananta Shesh with his mouth smiling. And all these things are happening. Vishnu has no problem. You know, all this pralaya is happening and everything's finishing. And Brahma is also with folded palms praying, my dear Lord, the pralaya is over now. And after the pralaya, I don't know, all the planets have gone to different places. Now I have to put them in proper place. The 14 planetary systems have to be established. And the living entities are all lying in the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu now, kept in freezer now. Now they have to be released now. And they have to be given the respective bodies. And they will all be given the different type of bodies according to their prarabdha karmas. They have to be given and then they have to be placed. You are all Gandharvas, you go here. You have to be allotting them to different places. So that very big task appears to be a Herculean task for Brahma. And Brahma is in anxiety. So anxiety while doing a service, how am I going to complete it? How will I complete it? I need help. That anxiety is good because we can take shelter of Krishna. See, Krishna gives us the spiritual anxiety and he gives a solution also. You may ask, Prabhuji, what is the need of this? Then he let him only do it. Why should he give me anxiety and give solution? That's what Arjuna told him. Krishna, you want this dharma to happen, you only fight, no. Why are you involving me? You know? That's why he said, Pujarha Arisudana, Madhusudana, he said, hey, you are killer of Madhu demon, huh? And you are killer of demons, but will you kill, can you become Bhishma Sudan? Can you become, this kind of, can you kill your relatives and friends? He challenged Krishna. Krishna said, when my devotee takes anxiety on behalf of me and takes my shelter, then I get a chance to reciprocate with my devotee. That is the reason why Krishna wants us to take anxiety for him. And then a devotee gets spiritual strength and reciprocation and love from Krishna and Guru and Parampara. And our quality of our offering of service to Krishna improves. The relationship with Guru and Krishna becomes tighter. And our ambitions and aspirations become purer. And in this way, gradually love for Krishna awakens in our heart when we take such anxiety. What a beautiful section of Bhagavatam. Pandrashimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Thank you very much.